Last week in my sermon for Epiphany, I spoke about the great paradox of God. The great paradox of a God whose unfailing love transcends every aspect of our humanity and our human understanding. A God who transcends all of our human preconceptions and fallibilities and limitations. A God who is so powerful that God sets the Big Bang in motion. And yet a God who also reveals himself in the body of an impoverished peasant boy. A God who reveals himself in our human weakness and fragility and vulnerability. A God who reveals himself in flesh and blood. This week, the paradox of our God is once again fully on display as we once again re-enter the story, as we are invited to re-enter the mystery of the baptism of our Lord. For some time now, John the Baptist has been roaming the fields and forests of Judea. He's been eking out a meager existence for himself, surviving on locusts and wild honey and warming himself on cold days like these with camel's hair. And he's been preaching a gospel of grace and humility and repentance. And as St. Luke tells it, many of John's followers began to question in their hearts whether he might be the one, whether John might be the Messiah they had been waiting for. But when they begin to question, John tells them without any hesitation or any equivocation, "I baptize you with water," he says, "but one who is more powerful than I is coming. And I am not worthy," he says, "to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Like the legendary Hebrew prophets of old, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, John points us to the expansiveness of God this day, to the wonder of God, to the utter amazement and awesome power of God. A God who baptizes not with mere water, not with the stuff that we drink and that we take our baths in, but a God who baptizes with the mysterious Holy Spirit and with fire. A God whose fire of love burns so deep and so hot that it peels away all of our human impurities. All of our selfish ambitions are burned away. Every hardened outer shell or husk that each of us as human grains of wheat most certainly have, all of that is cleansed by that holy fire. And in the wake of that fire, we are only left with the purest fruit, the purest wheat, kindness, meekness, generosity, love, the fruits of the Spirit. And all the rest, all the other stuff, all the chaff, as Luke puts it, is swallowed up and engulfed and turned into dust. So you can imagine John's surprise this morning, John's utter astonishment and bewilderment when Jesus, the Son of the living God, the embodiment of the God who has that power, that fiery power to cleanse us, when Jesus shows up and says to John, "Baptize me too. Baptize me too." "Wait," John says. "Baptize you too?" "Baptize you too." You can almost see John scratching his head across the centuries and furrowing his brow. "That's not my job," he says. "That's not how this is supposed to work. You're the one who's supposed to be baptizing me, Jesus. You're the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I am but a man," John says. "I am but flesh and blood." And here we have to pause for a brief moment in the telling of our story and ask a prayer of forgiveness for poor St. Luke. We have to ask a prayer of forgiveness this morning for the great physician and evangelist, because St. Luke's gospel does a really poor job of telling us this part of the story, of teasing out for us John's utter astonishment and bewilderment of what is being asked of him. Matthew's gospel at least includes a little dialogue between John and Jesus, a dialogue in which John looks at Jesus. John looks at Jesus square in the eye after he asks him, "Baptize me too." And John says to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you. And you come to me?" In essence, John says to Jesus in Matthew's gospel, "What gives? What gives?" And Jesus answers, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. But Luke, for his part, just skips that scene right over. Maybe it's because he's just as bewildered as John of what is being asked of the Baptist. In any case, John submits to Jesus' request. In all three of the synoptic gospels, John submits to Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Jesus is baptized in the Jordan. And at this moment, all three of those gospels agree. The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ in the form of a bodily dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Theologians and academics call that kind of scene in the Holy Bible a theophany. A theophany, which is just a big word that means an apparition of the divine. A moment when the boundaries of time and space seem to be no more, when the awesomeness and wonder and utterly transcendent power of our God are revealed for all of us in the world to see. And yet the great paradox of our God remains this day. The great paradox of a God who is not revealed by what we humans would seemingly deem powerful. God is not revealed this day like a Roman god. God is not revealed like a Mars who commands great armies, or like a Zeus whose footsteps are thunder and who throws mighty bolts of lightning with his arms. No, our Messiah is revealed in a man, a God who puts on flesh, by a Savior who submits to a human ritual, baptism, by a God who plunges underneath the waters of the Jordan this day, and who in doing so says to us for once and for all time, "I am with you. I am with you," Christ says to us this day. "I am with you in this world. I am with you in your living. I am with you in your breathing, in your questioning, in your journeying, in your struggling, and yes, even in your dying as I plunge underneath the waves. I am with you. And I will be with you in your rising," he says to us. "I will be with you in your rising, and you will be with me. So go, therefore. Go, in the words of the Great Commission, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, teaching them to obey the will of our living God, the law of love. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This morning, as we renew our baptismal vows as a church family, we remember that He is with us. As the holy waters flow out of that font at the back of this church, and as the droplets touch our skin this day, as the water makes its way over your cheeks, we remember that He is with us, and that each of us is called in our baptism to partner with the living God in transforming this world so that, yes, with God's help, God's will may be done as we pray every Sunday on earth as it is in heaven. Today we remember that we are all in this together, both we human beings and our living God who journeys with us. The very same God who set the heavens and the earth in motion, yes, but who also puts on skin and bone, puts on mortal flesh, sanctifies this mortal flesh, and chooses not to live in some lofty abode, but here among we mortals, among we creatures of dust and clay. Today we remember that in spite of all of the chaff that we have experienced in this world and that we will continue to experience in this world, in spite of all those hardened outer layers, all those outer shells, those sins that seem to separate us from God, separate us from each other, the sins that tell us that we are somehow unworthy, still, God looks at us and says, "I am with you." And a voice comes from the heavens. A voice opens up for us this day and says, "You are my beloved. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Amen.